Dang, this is really depressing. Okay. All right, David, we're here. The show has begun. I'm very excited you're back. Very excited that you're back. I've been lonely this whole time in a dark corner recording the show by myself. And now that you're back, I feel whole again. Has anyone ever told you that?
Literally no one has ever told me that.
All right. Today is the first. Well, today we're going to start off our show. It's going to be an interesting show today. And here's why it's going to be an interesting show today, David. I am ill and crippled right now. I'm very ill, very crippled. And my voice is all jacked up beyond all recognition, as they say. I want to explain why. So funny thing happened on the way to the microwave yesterday. The plumber came by because we have this huge leak in our house.
The plumber.
And the plumber. Yeah, there's okay. only one of them out here in Spokane.
That guy. Yeah, got it.
He just drives around the neighborhoods and asking for business. And people say, yeah, can you come into my house? And he says, yes.
I don't know what to do with that.
You know, David, I'm glad we're doing this show over again because the jokes are so much better.
So much better. Listeners, you should know that I failed to record for the first probably 20 minutes.
Oh, David, the only time I ever wanted to hurt you. No, I don't want to hurt you at all.
Only time, he says.
Already. Yeah. When you said, Jim, is it time? Do you want to be a Presbyterian? And I said, no way, Jose. And then walked away.
I thought you weren't going to bring that up.
You always bring that up. Well, guys, we got, I would say, safely 25 minutes into recording. And David got this look of panic and said, oh, no, Jim, I haven't been recording this whole time. Oh, the despair that hit me. So we're doing this whole show over again. But the jokes are better. So let's just keep on going because we have limited time. I have to go to home group soon. We're back in home group season, you realize. So I have to go back to home group here.
You're soon. Hunting home and, groups?
Yeah, no, we're in the same one. Oh, I got the joke. Yes. So the plumber came by. Yes. Needed access to some pipes where I believe a leak was originating and it was trickling down and causing lots of damage in the place that we live. And I moved, it's behind a dishwasher. So I moved the dishwasher out, needed to move a heavy microwave to another place in the kitchen. And I decided erroneously to put the microwave on the ground. Mm. What a horrible, horrible mistake.
You
that
put
was,
it on the ground. I hate that video.
Yes. I made a horrible, horrible decision. And you know, David, how, you know, the proper way to lift a heavy object is, do you know what the proper way?
Lift with your back. Your back's the strongest muscle in your body. The idea is to go as long as possible without breathing.
Well, close, I guess.
This is a red versus blue reference. I feel opposite. Obligated to tell people.
Okay. What is the reference?
Red versus blue. It's a Macromania series based around the Halo games.
Oh, that's really, really not interesting. So, so they start telling you in your 20s.
Right.
That you have to start, because you can do anything in your teenage years. You can fall off roofs and be fine.
Right.
And not a roof, a roof.
I was going to say, what the heck is a roof?
It's a spiral-shaped roof from Spain called a roof. Or as they say in Spain, el roof. France, le roof. Okay. The joke makes me laugh. That's all I care about. They say you have to start lifting properly. So the bad way is bending over at the waist, grabbing something with your paws, your mandibles.
Right.
Mandibles. What? I did that last show, and I didn't get how stupid that was until now. Mandibles are on your face, not on your hands.
What the heck is a mandible?
I'm glad we're doing this show over again, because I can correct my dumb jokes.
The Mandibalorian?
best of luck, Jim. You're supposed to start lifting things the proper way, which is you lower your center of gravity, you lower yourself down, grasp with your paws.
That's your jaw.
You're lifting, and you stand up, you bite down on the microwave, and you stand up.
Lift it up with your neck and your back. And
hey, honey, look at me. Jim, what are you doing? I did it. Did I do that yesterday, David?
No, you did not. Do you know how I know?
No,
you told me this story before.
Because I'm also true.
Freaking Groundhog's Day over here.
So I lifted the wrong way. I did. I lifted with my back. Put the microwave back, and about an hour later, the pain began. It started right in my neck, spread down my spine, spread to the basically the right side of my back. Spread to the
Are you sure this wasn't a heart attack?
It might be, actually. I'm kind of feeling pain in my chest right now. The front of my chest hurts.
Right.
You know what? I might be having a heart attack because my right arm hurts and not my left.
Well, that I think it goes numb.
I'm going to die. Oh, numb? Although
can you take your pulse?
Here, I need, honey, get me a knife, please.
No, no, no. Leave the pulse there, but just measure it.
Oh, I was going to slice my knife to see. Okay, I'll put the knife back. Jeez, you never let me do what I want to do. It spread down my arm, and I am in just extraordinary pain. Needed to go to a discipleship group last night. Basically just sat in a corner folding chair and never moved. Like, I just didn't move. I just like kept looking straight ahead.
And right. For some reason, I heard folding as a verb there. I sat in the corner, folding chair. I was like, just over and over again?
I sat, corner, folding, chair, look, nowhere, just ahead. That's what I do. You done do? No?
Why use many words when few words do trick?
Okay. but before I went to this discipleship thing, I couldn't bend over. I couldn't move my neck very well, and I couldn't lift my arms very high.
Right.
Or really lift anything.
How could you worship?
Indeed. That's a funny joke. Well, with a fog machine, one can worship all things. Whoa. That was
deep.
Yikes. That was scary. That came out of my mouth. I recant that.
Going on Instagram.
Yes. Jim's famous dumbisms. There's plenty of those to go around. Anyways, I needed help. I needed to put on my shoes and my socks. And I said to my wife, honey, a test of your devotion is about to begin. I need you to put on my socks and shoes. Could you do that, please? And of course, being how wonderful, she's wonderful.
Did she put them on herself first?
Without she tested them.
I need you to put these on.
She put on my socks and walked away. No. No, honey, me. Oh, she said, oh. And I said, oh, she says. So she put the socks. She put the socks. I love that we're doing this again. Our jokes are so much better. So she put my socks on. And she did it really well. There wasn't a off. What's the word you used?
A thwack.
The seams were right.
It's Viennesian.
It wasn't a thwack. Yes, the Viennesian way. Or as the Spanish say, El Viennesian. And she put my socks on all the way. It was about a 6-inch. Those are high. Top, I don't know what you call these socks. They're long socks.
Right, right, right.
And I prefer whenever cut? I put on socks to pull them up all the way. No, not crew cut. Hippies cut. And she put my sock on all the way. And then she did something that horrified me that has never happened on my socks before.
Right.
She pulled it all the way up and then folded it back towards my ankle. And I wanted to tell you this because it reminds, I had like a David McCookie moment where, you know, David is frolicking through the cornfield and a gust of wind comes and moves his leg hair. David has what we call a moment.
Oh, good grief. I just had a moment. Did it. This is awful. Why would anybody do this?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Were you trying to show off your shins?
Evil. Yes.
Like a male prostitute or something?
It's like Gandalf stood up and started speaking the black language.
Oz, Noz, whatever. Yeah.
Yes. That's what it felt like. The room got darkened, and I just got this horror. The horror from Marlon Brando from Apocalypse
and
Now.
And she's like,
I'm not trying to rob you. Horror. I'm trying to help you.
She wasn't. I just immediately had a fit, and I started saying, What did you do? Why would you do such a thing? I was like accusing her. Don't do that. Please put it back. Please put it back. Please. Please. Why would you do this to me? And she just starts laughing at me. Because I'm ridiculous. Letting me stew for about 6 seconds in this state. And she finally pulled it up and then put the other one on. But anyways, that to say, the pain steadily increasing in waves throughout the night. I didn't sleep a wink. Woke up feeling nauseous. I'm feeling ill. I'm feeling feverish. Not feverish. I'm not feeling any of those things. I'm just feeling bad.
That's COVID, I think.
I didn't sleep at all last night. Yes. I should actually take my temperature here real soon. But I am feeling sick, and I am in a ton of pain right now. So when I shout, it hurts to shout. And I'm doing a lot of shouting later on the show. So just warning you that it's going to be a rough show today. But I am here, David. I am here because I believe in this show. I believe in me. I believe in you. and I believe in True Blue. That's what I believe in. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and do the show. I'm in pain, but I don't care. Let's go ahead and start this mother trucker. Okay.
All right. Was that good? I just said, all right.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I am your co-host, David, who did not become a Baptist last week. And sitting across the country from me,
no,
at a contractually negotiated 804 miles, is my co-host, Jim, who seemed disappointed with the way I introduced him last time we did this exact segment for this exact episode.
Really? I did?
Yeah, were you?
Oh, no, I was thinking about a joke.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Like, I didn't react because I was trying to remember the joke.
Would you want to, do you want the listeners to hear what that one was?
Yes.
Sitting across the country from me is my co-host, Jim, who, thanks to the efforts of Walmart and Oracle, did not ban TikTok this past weekend.
No, I didn't. Oh, I remember why I didn't like it. It wasn't funny.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was just a Trump thing. I was doing the Trump thing because that's...
Okay. You have done a couple of those Trump intros for me. Those are funny.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Yeah.
It was hearkening.
Yeah, I think you should do those in the... I want you to do those in the future so that we can do more funny things for our audience to laugh at.
You want me to do... Okay, I'll do the funny thing.
No. No, I don't. No. Do the funny things. Just don't do the other funny things. The funny things that aren't
funny.
You want to see my birthday card? You're going to be good. Yes, please.
Probably can't read it because it's probably backward, but it says making birthdays great again. And it's Donald Trump.
Oh, a skinny Trump. I love it. Who sent that?
Look how big his hands are. I'll bet he had something to do with this. This has to be Photoshop.
Oh, those aren't real.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? That is
setting unrealistic expectations.
Yes. It's digitally altered. That's what the kids say. It happened to those.
What were we talking about?
Anyways, I don't know. We're here.
Hey,
yeah, episode 109. Yeah, 109. That's what was shown.
Sure.
Folks, we have some business to attend to. Last week, David was not able to join us. It was the first time in flogging history that at the last minute, David said, "Hey, Jim, sorry, bud." You never say bud. Sorry, dude. You never say dude. Sorry, bruh. Baptist. I can't, bruh. Hey, Jim, bruh. I can't do the show.
Just going to call you Baptist now.
Hey, Baptist. Yes? Come here. No. All right then. I don't know. I just said that. Anyways, so I decided that while it would be perfectly acceptable and expected for us to skip a week, lots of podcasts do it. You know, it's kind of unreasonable to do a show every single week when, you know, these people are, you know, we're working adults who have responsibilities. But I went ahead and decided that I'm going to do a solo show. I did the show by myself last week. Though after listening to you didn't really sense that.
Yeah, I mean, I had like 15 to 20% of the lines.
You were in half the show, it felt like. But I asked David to record some lines that I wrote for him on his own time, and then I spliced those things in. So it really was just a Jim show. And I got to say, I was nervous about releasing it because it didn't feel as funny as I had hoped. But the reaction has been very, very positive. So I'm glad the folks liked it. So in the future, if that situation ever comes up again, we'll probably do a solo Jim show. We also have some guests that I've reached out to that will, when David is gone far away, we will record the show and talk about theology.
That would be a really funny bit.
Yeah.
If every time I'm gone, you come back, some famous theologian. Yeah. We have James White.
Baptist theologian. James White. No, his name, what's the joke you do? That's,
oh, James Mueller.
Another funny joke you do. James Mueller will come into the show with us.
It's funnier when you preface it as a funny joke I do.
Yes. Hey, David, can you do that thing you do? So, I think it worked out well. We're going to try and have a show every week. We think that's the most beneficial for our ratings, which are all important and nothing else matters, and also for our listeners.
Oh, revenue is more important than ratings, but yeah.
That's true. Yeah. But they're also inextricably linked, much like me and food. So, so let's go ahead and move on from that topic, unless you have anything to say. But David, I hope your week went well. I know it was busy. Hopefully you survived from it.
It was busy. Work was just kind of crazy. It was a perfect storm of people being in the emergency room, my internet being bad, and clients with slightly unreasonable expectations. Plus, I was sending my MacBook Pro back in. It's the second MacBook Pro and the third Logic Board replacement. So I am. I was in the process of building a computer so that I can get this thing fixed, whatever that takes. Just really busy.
Well, we kept the fire going, David. Always, ever forward.
Yeah, we didn't start the fire. We just kept it going.
Thank you, David. Always rescuing my dumb jokes. I don't do the same for you. I don't know what to say. You always do. That's why I'm glad that David is back. Okay, let's go ahead and do or continue on with our follow-up. We already covered the live follow-up, which is we're re-recording this show from a previous less funny version, I might add.
The other version was less version. Funny?
Yeah.
I think that's subjective. More
funny. Okay.
So next up in follow-up, Jim has a point.
Yes. Let's go ahead and talk about this. Per Chris Ragsdale, a beloved beloved flogging listener, longtime beloved, close personal mutual friend of David and I, my other radio partner, as I call him, that I have never, ever worked with, oft mentioned, and I might add, a decent impersonator of Dwight Schrute. Unintentionally, maybe. I don't think he was doing that on purpose, but man, is he good at it. Jump the Shark, a phrase uttered two or three shows ago, I can't remember, by one of us, is actually from the show Happy Days, from the character Fonzie.
And those are yours and mine. And
I just... What?
The Happy Days, they're yours and mine.
It's from the song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great. It's funnier, but there are actually more awkward moments. I don't know how that's... but anyways, I never knew this. I thought it was like a Puritan thing. You know, I mean, like a lot of pop culture phrases, I think, are from the Puritan era. And it's assumed this was from, like, you know, John Owen, you know, chapter one, really long paragraph.
A treatise in which Fonzie jumps the shark on a jet ski.
Yes. Jet ski. Yes. In the real time meta follow up last show, you thought it was a motorcycle that he jumped the shark with. I don't know why.
It was just the version that we didn't record.
That's right. Well, I recorded it. So so let's go ahead and have you seen this clip before?
I have not.
Clip of Fonzie.
But you shouldn't do the live. Well, no, don't do the live thing. Every time you do that, your audio cuts out so much. I can only get like every eighth word.
Well, I'm not saying much. Okay. Well, anyways, Fonzie, this is an amazing clip. We're going to put this in the show notes, or David is, and he's going to forget because I won't send it to him. And he's going to put this non-existent clip in the show notes that you will not see. And what you will not see is Fonzie in a leather jacket.
Can you stop saying Nazi?
Water skiing. What?
Can you stop saying?
Oh, sorry. It is 2020. We have to be careful with our words. And he's wearing what looks to be like jean hot pants. Water skiing.
I don't know what regular and hot pants are.
Okay. He approaches a ramp and literally water ski jumps. Over a shark in the water below. And I thought that just that was a random clip and we just kind of made a pop culture reference out of it. Apparently, that was the mark at which the show Happy Days took a downturn. And people hated watching it. And over time, that phrase jump the shark, according to you, David, during the show that we didn't record, is now adopted as a pop culture phrase when something starts to go bad.
Yep.
In other words, Jim's show last episode.
No, that was S1E1.
Yes. And I contributed to us jumping the shark about 3 minutes in. I just screwed up. I flubbed an important point that I worked hard on. And that set the tone, man. That just set the tone. 109 episodes in, and I still haven't recovered from that. But, you know, it's part of our charm. There's that. Next up, has David tried Zittelkasten? Zuffenlafsen? Zeffenlusten? Zaffenkusten? Have you tried that yet?
I have. I started setting it up today. I used Obsidian. All of this was started by CGP Gray, who realized that he had CGP Gray. I did not enunciate that well. Who realized
ABCD.
He has not been taking notes correctly his whole life, right? Because when they taught him how to take notes, he could not read the blackboard as a child. Jim is like writhing in agony before my eyes, and it makes me sad. If I could feel sadness.
That hurt pretty good. Sorry. I didn't mean to. Sorry. I just really hurt. I have to adjust in my chair, and it's not going to be pretty. Oh, Solomio. Okay, I'm done. Woo, that one hurt. Keep going, David.
So very briefly, Zettelkasten is a system where you take your notes very atomistically, where each thought, each idea, each concept is its own individual component or component, as you would say. It's its own note. Right. The original system used index cards. Digitally, you would use a note file for each of these. And the idea is that you find ways of linking them together so that you can, if you want to know everything that you've ever thought about the topic of, for example, sociology, you can very quickly find all of those notes, and you can narrow it by things like hashtags. But the idea is that your notes are all linked together, but each thought is its own individual atomic component. And so, yeah, I set that up. It's actually really cool because I don't know if listeners have ever felt like as they're taking notes, they're like, why am I doing this? I'm never going to look at this again. I'm never going to have reason to look at this again. I don't even have a place to put this. If you do it digitally, you have a place to put it, but it's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. When was the last time you saw, outside of like maybe the week after you took sermon notes, when was the last time you saw those sermon notes?
I don't.
And this is kind of cool
because
I can hashtag my sermon notes with the Bible chapter that it was in and any systematic theology categories that it may be related to. And then later, I can, if I'm studying the regulative principle, I can see that, oh, like 3 years ago, I took notes on a sermon that talked about the regulative principle. And this was the thought that I extracted from that sermon. And so they describe it as kind of it's your brain being able to talk back to you, because you're able to kind of converse with the thoughts that you've already had. And it's exciting. I'm setting it up. And, I think anybody who, does either knowledge work where your work, highly depends on a lot of knowledge, having and maintaining a sort of garden of knowledge, anybody in knowledge work or creative work, where you have a lot of ideas that you have to keep track of, I think, it could be a very valuable addition to your tool set.
Awesome. Well, I asked the question and didn't hear or listen to a word you just said.
Well, you can hear it when you edit.
Yes, sure. So I will listen then. I will emotionally connect with you in the edit. So next up.
I said that the fella who is famously accredited with Zettelkasten, even though it clearly antedates him, that he was a social worker. I meant that he is a, I almost said socialist. Why am I getting all of these confused? Sociologist.
A noted socialist invented Zettelkasten.
And David's fully on board.
Yes. And David is all about it. No.
Next up, or two episodes ago, I said that I do not say mad props, but when I am using either the React or Vue front-end JavaScript development frameworks and I have type safety turned on, I sometimes will pass a string where a prop is expecting a Boolean and type safety errors will be thrown at me, and I consider that the prop getting mad, and I will call it a mad prop. That was not funny, and it should probably be cut, but David Latchett will get it. Nobody else will, and David Latchett will also not think that it's funny.
Right. He will call it surreal. And you'll say, is that good or bad? And he'll say, I don't know. It always, you know, if you want to put your finger on the pulse of what our fans think of the show, ask the good doctor. So
Martin Lloyd-Jones?
Or not. Yeah, Martin Lloyd-Jones. Oh, you think it's rubbish? No.
Next up, so we have slack.techreformation.com, not techreformation.slack.com. Jim got tripped up by an easy mistake to make, and I just wanted to correct him publicly because it makes me feel good about me.
Yes, you. That's the blurb that you do. I never do it.
Right.
And I thought I was going to wing it because I've heard it so many times.
Right.
And I managed to get an error right away, and also. Tripped up. Couldn't figure out what else to say. So I just said, go ahead and follow the prompts. so I have no idea if the many,
how
many
did you even join the Slack?
I know. I'm in a different way. I'm in an alternate reality Slack. But I will have you know that when I clicked on the Tech Reformation drop-down menu thingamajig, it said techreformation.slack.com. And one would expect for Slack to display an address that would lead one to a particular Slack.
It does. It does.
But it's not this day or that day or any future day, because they literally scramble the web address and leave it to you to figure out. That's the reality that I live in. So
there's a difference between joining a Slack and logging into a Slack you're already a part of. That's the short answer.
As we all know, David, it's one of your many truisms.
Jim, don't you know that there's a difference between trying pants on for the first time and wearing pants you've already worn?
Well, I rarely do the second one or the first. So, all right, David, we have a few bits to get into. I have been occupied. I kind of wasted all my material on the last show. So I kind of made some things for this show. So it's a little bit, it's a cornucopia of weird. It's a carnival of weird, but it's not
so a carnival?
Formal flogging cinematic universe skit that we're going to do. But nevertheless, I do have something that I think is entertaining. We're going to do a flogging theater that I think is a treat today that our audience will love. They liked the flogging theater to start. You didn't, but everyone else did. So we're going to do a flogging theater today. All right, good.
But I should also clarify, a flogging theater is defined by Jim as us basically redoing a scene from a movie, but with slight changes, namely, and especially name modifications.
Yes. And hopefully it'll come off as funny. Our performance will drive the laughter, David, as it always does. Mm. Always has.
Or at least putt the laughter.
Yes, putt it along. So let's go ahead and roll this thing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Rolling. Today's episode of Flogging Theater is brought to you by Chuck's Chicken Delight. You buy them, we fry them. Folks, I'm Chuck Wood, owner of Chuck's Chicken, and I've got a simple commitment to you. If you buy them, then by golly, I will fry them. Nothing will ever stop me. My customers know my commitment so well that even if I run out of chicken, which happens most every day, because I'm dyslexic, I don't know how to read, and I'm very forgetful, I forget to reorder more supplies. Those customers will just bring stuff from their home, and I will fry it. Yes, I will. Because that's a promise from me to you, friend. You know what? Doesn't matter. You can bring in cheese. You can bring in zucchini. You can bring in a freshly butchered squirrel, a tennis ball, I don't know, anything, and I will fry them at Chuck's Chicken Delight. Chuck's Chicken Delight. You buy them, and we will fry them. Anything and everything, because they run out of chicken all the time. Call us today and pre-order, and even reserve curbside delivery. Just dial 555-5567-2876. Call us today, won't you?
That doesn't make any sense. That's too many numbers.
Oh, yeah? Try it.
Fine. Turban's beard. It worked.
Darn right it does. Give us a call. Come on down and buy your chicken or squirrel, because I am completely out right now and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm so sorry.
Chuck's Chicken Delight on the corner of 3rd and, well, I forget. Just call it, buy it, we'll fry it, and that's the fact, Jack.
David, you're alive. This is great. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. Andy will find you here. He'll take us back to the room, and then he can tell everyone that this was just all a big mistake. Huh? Right? Buddy?
I just want you to know that even though you tried to terminate me, revenge is not an idea that we promote on my planet.
Oh, well, that's good.
But we're not on my planet, are we?
No. Okay, come on. You want a piece of me? Let's see what those Presbyterian hands are capable of. Oh, you punched me right in the face. I don't know why you did that.
What's that, Jim?
I don't know why you did that.
Next stop.
Pizza Planet, yeah!
Andy? Doesn't he realize that I'm not there? Oh, I'm lost. I'm a lost toy.
David McCookie mission log. The local sheriff and I seem to be at a huge refueling station of some sort.
You!
According to my Nava computer, the...
Shut up! Just shut up, you idiot!
Jim, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic. I'm lost and he's gone. They're going to move from their house in 2 days and it's all your fault.
My fault? If you hadn't pushed me out of the window in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you hadn't shown up in your stupid little cardboard spaceship and taken away everything that was important to me.
Don't talk to me about importance. Because of you, the security of this entire universe is in jeopardy.
What? What are you talking about?
Right now, poised at the edge of the galaxy, Emperor Servetus has been secretly building a weapon with the destructive capacity to annihilate the entire church. I alone have the information that reveals this weapon's only weakness. And you, my friend, are responsible for delaying my rendezvous with Synod.
You are a toy! You aren't the real David McCookie. You're an action figure. You are a child's plaything.
You are a sad, strange little man. You have my pity. Farewell.
Oh, yeah. Well, good riddance, you loony.